This is Baseball Today.
Baseball's a funny game. It's a round ball that comes in a square box.
Yeah, but it takes him 4 months to blow his nose, so I don't know what's going to happen. That made me sick to my stomach, too, being that positive. Ugh.
Yes, the point here is when Peter speaks, everybody should listen.
That's right.
Play ball!
Baseball Today.
Hi there, and welcome to the Baseball Today. It's Friday, October 23rd. And we've still got baseball being played before the World Series. I'm Eric Carabel here with Peter Pasquarelli on the West Coast. Peter, how you doing today?
But I have a heck of a game last night. Another one of those games that tends to remind you why I love baseball so much.
Well, it was a memorable game, and we'll see just how memorable it is this weekend. So let's talk about what happened on Thursday, preview what's going to happen this weekend, and talk about why the Phillies could be really happy, starting off with Angels-Yankees.
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
The Angels.
The New York Yankees.
The Yankees.
What a great game. We could spend an hour talking about this game. We don't have that much time. Let's start with the ESPN radio recap. This is John Miller with Joe Morgan.
And what a night it was at Angel Stadium. What a thrilling ball game it was. The Angels, for the longest time, holding a 4-0 lead back of their ace, John Lackey, into the seventh inning. And with the score still 4-0, Mike Socia took Lackey out of the game. Lackey was very unhappy about it. And on the first pitch against the bullpen, against Darren Oliver, Mark Teixeira put the Yankees right back in the game, a three-run double, and that was the start of a six-run rally.
Well, you always knew that the Yankees were one big swing away from getting back into this ballgame. They kept putting pressure on, and finally, I don't agree with taking Lackey out, but at the same time, you know, Mike Socia knows his team better than we do. All of a sudden, I knew that if they made one good swing, they could be back in the game, and of course, they made a couple of good swings because Teixeira cleared the bases, and then Robinson Cano put them ahead, but Angels came right back, fought back, and that's what great baseball is all about, and that's why the postseason is so great.
Well, they had their own three-run rally in the last half of the seventh inning, and we're back ahead. Jared Weaver pitched the eighth. Then in the ninth, Brian Fuentes, he got the first two hitters very quickly, but then with A-Rod, who's been the hero of the late innings in this postseason, up, already having taken Fuentes deep in a similar spot for the second time. Fuentes was ordered to walk him intentionally. He didn't seem happy about it. But then with that walk, then there was another walk. A hit batsman, they had the bases loaded.
Well, that was the problem. And once you walk A-Rod, you had to get Matsui out. And they didn't do that. He walked him. And all of a sudden, hey, they were about to lose the game. One base hit away from losing the ball game because Rivera was waiting to close it out. So it was a great ball game. Fuentes prevailed. You have to give him a lot of credit. He showed a lot of guts there. And he finished the ball game for the Angels.
Thrilling night. The Angels and Yankees will play game six. For Joe Morgan, I'm John Miller, right here in your home for every game of the postseason ESPN Radio.
Okay, so they start out talking about John Lackey. And look, if you're managing, if you're Mike Socia, Peter, do you take Lackey out of that game?
If I'm Mike Socia, I figure I know my team better than anyone else. The one thing that I wondered about was that he got the Damon out. He got one left-hander out, and he had been handling Teixeira pretty well. I think I might have left him in there, but, it didn't turn out well, obviously. But, Mike Socia's hard to criticize, but I think I would have left Lackey in for another hitter.
I would have left Lackey in. I mean, I understand turning Teixeira around. He's a better hitter from the left side than the right. But you want to trust your guys. I mean...
Well, and also, it's one thing to statistically say he's a better hitter, lefty to righty or whatever, but, I'd rather have Lackey stuff in there right there than Darren Oliver.
We should point out Lackey threw 104 pitches in 6 2/3, so he might have been gassed. Well, he wasn't overly, but...
But, yeah, I know. And they also have to hold everybody in reserve maybe to use in a seventh game, but he had been pitching awfully well, and I would have liked to seen him try to finish that inning.
All right, well, obviously, Lackey leaves the game up 4-0, and then a pitch later, it's 4-3, and all three runs get charged to Lackey, and then they blow the whole lead. Look, I thought the game was over. I mean, didn't you think that was it? 6-4 Yankees, that's
it. The air was sucked out of the ballpark, and you look at the Angel bench, and you see the looks on some of their faces, and you have to think, this is it. Nice try, guys. And then, the rally monkey arrived, and I think that was the key. I think the rally monkey really picked everyone up.
Well, is it Joe Girardi's fault, though? Let me ask you this. I mean, look, I thought the game is over. If you've got a lead, okay, you're in Anaheim, and you have a 6-4 lead with 9 outs to go, why are you leaving A.J. Burnett in the game? I know his pitch count is low, but you got Jabba, Hughes, and Mariano in each.
yeah, you got the lead, you go to the bullpen. That's what your supposed strength is. And, by the way, this series has sort of exposed the fact that Jabba, and, you know, and in this case, I don't blame Jabba at all, but he has not been very good in this series. And, you know, to say that he was going to immediately become the dominant reliever again after one late season appearance and a couple of nice innings against the Twins might have been a little premature. He hasn't pitched well. And then Phil Hughes just didn't have control last night, which is something he's always had as a reliever. And you know, the Angels made an amazing comeback. I mean, that's all you can say about it. I mean, they you know, to come right back like they did, it was pretty remarkable. Get three runs right away, and then of course they had to walk a tightrope the rest of the way in the ninth inning.
All right, well, let's listen to the guy who pitched that ninth inning, Brian Fuentes, who, look, he led the majors in saves, okay? I mean, say that for him, but it's not always pretty. Here he is with our own ESPN the Magazine's Tim Kirkchin. Let's listen to Brian Fuentes talking to Tim.
Two outs in the ninth inning, the season on the line. What is going through your head as you're pitching a Nick Swisher?
I'm thinking, I got to throw a strike here. I got to make him put the ball in play. You know, and it's funny, for like a split second, I was thinking, my mom always yells at me for making these close games, and I can only imagine what she was doing at that time. So, sorry, Mom.
Brian, what does this tell you about this team to come back and win this game after what the Yankees did in the seventh inning tonight?
Yeah, it was huge, man. I was so proud of our guys showing heart like that, coming back. You know, the momentum shifted so hard in their direction, and you know, the crowd kind of fell out of it. It went silent around here, and sure enough, we come back with a base hit, and things start coming our way, and we ended up coming all the way back, so that was awesome.
How would you describe this game, and have you played in anything quite like something like this?
I'd say that playing game in Colorado was pretty close to this, but, you know, my heart is beating so fast out there that, you know, at that time, probably not.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, now I love that line about his mom and about how, I mean, every game, it seems like a lot of games. Now, Phillies fans are used to this with Brad Lidge. So, you know, I'm watching the game, and my wife says, you know, why is this guy even, like, getting to this point? Every baseball game is like that, isn't it? I mean, it's not just Brad Lidge. It's not just Brian Fuentes or Jonathan Broxton.
There are very few 1-2-3 ninth innings anymore. I mean, it's... You know, they're good hitters, working pitchers that they've seen a lot of, and the result is that this ninth inning isn't very easy for anybody. But, you know, it's funny, after the game, you know, Mike Socha's asked about walking Alex Rodriguez with two outs and nobody on. And remember, that inning started with a rocket line drive by Johnny Damon that almost knocks Kendry Morales for the first out of the inning. But, you know, you walk Alex Rodriguez with no one on and two outs in a one-run game, and, you know, it's hard to argue with that, considering Fuentes given up two home runs to Rodriguez and three at-bats, and it's a one-run game. But as Mike Socha says, the one problem with my strategy is that the bases got a little more populated than I would have liked, which I thought was a little delicate way of saying that, you know, he almost blew the game. But, and, you know, got it done, and Angels live for another day, but it was a heck of a ball game.
Our colleague Jerry Krasnick wrote the postgame column on ESPN.com, and he talked about how Mike Socha was basically saved. He made two decisions which were costly, and he was saved by the team winning the game. One was pulling Lackey, and the other one was putting Fuentes in the ninth inning when he had Jared Weaver out there. But how can you not put Fuentes in the game?
You have to put Jared Weaver. I don't think is a valid criticism. For one thing, he's not a relief pitcher. For another thing, he's still penciled in to start their seventh game. And Socha said if they had added on another run, if it had been a two-run lead instead of a one-run lead, he probably would have left Weaver in there to start the inning. But when it became a 1-1 lead, he felt he had to go with his closer. And, you know, I can't ever argue with a manager who goes to his closer, because the whole adage is, you know, a manager manages to get to his closer in the ninth inning. And that's when your strategy is over. So, you know, whether you like the closer or you don't like the closer, he's the guy in that job. And that's what you pay him the big bucks for.
And he did get Nick Swisher out. Now, Swisher's probably the worst Yankees hitter right now. I mean,
no, he's been terrible.
They don't really I mean, wouldn't they think about playing Brett Gardner maybe, or, you know, somebody else?
I don't know. It's, you know, they started the same people throughout the whole playoffs, both rounds. I don't know if they start fiddling with it again now, although it wouldn't, you know, you got a left-hander coming up now on Saturday, which I don't think they'd sit Swisher for, so... you know, I think they just have to live with him and hope he comes up with a walk or a hit in a key spot, because, you know, you know, the thing about Swisher is he still worked at the 3-2. I mean, you know, he works a count as much as he doesn't hit right now. He got it to 3-2 and a walk a ball away from walking in the tying run.
I thought Fuentes was going to walk him. I honestly thought he was going to walk him.
After he hit Cano, I thought, oh, boy, here we go. You know, this is going to be really ugly. But, you know, give him credit for stepping through. And I was also shocked Girardi pinch ran for Alex Rodriguez.
I couldn't believe it. Like, what if that game keeps going on?
Well, I mean, you have Freddie Guzman coming up every inning. You almost want to shoot yourself if you want to have that happen. And,
well, he can't play third. I mean, somebody would have had to play third base. I mean, I guess Cody Ransom on the team? I mean.
No, he's not on the team. I don't know. Who's their backup infielder?
I don't know who else they have.
I think Freddie Guzman could play. Oh, Jerry Hairston.
Oh, Hairston, right. Okay, Guzman's an outfielder only. But, right, I mean, right. Pinch running for A-Rod. I mean, A-Rod stole like 14 bases this season, I mean, or something like that.
Well,
he
could score from first on a double with two outs just as easily as Freddie Guzman, which is basically why you pinch ran him. Yeah. Once he gets to second base, then there's no reason for a pinch runner, but he's pinch ran him at first base. But, I mean, Alex Rodriguez is a better than average base runner
by far.
He's
the MVP of the series. He's 14 out of 16 on the season in steals, too. I mean, his OPS in the series is almost 1,500.
I thought that was unbelievable.
And look, if you're going to put Guzman in there, I thought he was going to run. So
it just didn't make sense to me, and it didn't end up killing. It didn't end up hurting the Yankees, obviously, because they didn't go to extra inning. You can imagine what people would have said if you know you come up in a big spot and there's Freddie Guzman or Jerry Hairston instead of Alex Rodriguez.
All right, and then of course the Angels middle of the order: Torii Hunter, Vladimir Guerrero, Kendall Morales. Each of them had two hits. Each of them knocked in two runs. And, you know, they only scored in two innings. I mean, they got four runs before there was an out, and then they had the winning rally. I mean, give them credit.
47-minute seventh inning there, and that was some inning. And, you know, they came out of the box great against Burnett, and give Burnett credit. I mean, and we
five perfect innings after that.
Give them a lot of credit, yeah. But, you know, we shut them down after that first inning, kept them in a game, and that's really all you can do in that situation. He did, you know, he did a starting pitcher's job. A lot of people did well yesterday. I mean, John Lackey was just outstanding. Weaver had an overpowering eighth inning coming out of the bullpen. It was just a good game, a very good game, and it makes the Yankees now grip a little bit because you never want to go to a seventh game. I don't care what you know, CC Sabathia, if you have Nolan Ryan, or you have, you know, Tom Seaver pitching, I don't care. You never want to go to a seventh game. You always want to avoid the seventh game if you're the team leading. And so they have a big win on Saturday. Plus, they keep Sabathia in position to start three games in the World Series. And if they lose that because they have to play a seventh game, that could be the death knell for them in the World Series. That could be the one break that gives the Phillies that they need.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's any question that the Phillies are rooting for this series to go seven because that is, I think, a normal person, an objective person, would say the Yankees would be favored over the Phillies. I would admit that. But if Sabathia can't start game one, if he's pushed back to game three, that changes everything. So
he pitches Sunday. He could pitch game two on 3 days rest.
On Thursday.
But then he'd only get one start and then one other start.
And two and five or two and six, right?
Yeah. And whereas if he, you know, they're definitely planning on going 1-4-7 with the last two on 3 days rest. I mean, that's the plan that they've had in place. And, you know, obviously that plan goes down the drain if he has to pitch on Sunday.
All right, let's.
And it's supposed to rain, by the way, all day Saturday in New York. So
yeah, I just saw this on TV. The weather forecast on Saturday in New York: 90% precipitation. It's getting unlikely they're going to play that game. They might have to play Game Six on Sunday and Game Seven on Monday, which would help the Phillies even more because then Sabathia wouldn't go to Game Three. So anyway, let's listen to. Here's the ESPN Radio preview of Game 6, whenever that is played, with John Miller and Joe Morgan. Obviously, we know the starting pitchers, Joe Saunders, Andy Pettit. Let's listen to what they have to say.
Well, the Angels are still alive in the American League Championship Series, just barely. They blew a four-run lead. Their closer, Brian Fuentes, had to get out of a bases-loaded jam with a 3-2 count to Nick Swisher. All of that happened, and somehow they prevailed over the Yankees. And now they turn to Joe Saunders, and he finished the season very strong. Seven straight wins after coming back from the disabled list, and seven strong innings allowing two runs last Saturday. In Game 2 of this series, Saunders up against Andy Pettit on Saturday.
Well, I was very impressed, John, with the way Joe Saunders pitched in Saturday's ballgame. I really believe that he has what it takes to hold the Yankee hitters down. He has a good breaking ball, good control, good sinker, and I think he's going to pitch well. Andy Pettitte, we know he's been there before, so he's not going to get rattled. I think we're going to have another great ball game as we did in Game 5.
Meanwhile, the Angels' offense kind of rose from the dead, and particularly Kendry Morales, not with a home run, but Morales had a big RBI single in the first and a big RBI single that proved to be the game-winning hit in the seventh. His bat had been dormant, really, up until then.
And as we all know, John, hitting is about confidence. The Angels got their confidence in Game 5, and I expect that to carry over into Game 6. I think you'll see some guys swinging the bat well.
Another guy who was not hitting is Mark DeSharon. He had the big three-run double that fueled their comeback. So we'll see. Game 6 is coming up in the American League Championship Series between the Angels and Yankees. You'll be able to hear it right here on ESPN Radio, as well as every game of the postseason right here on ESPN Radio.
Okay, so yes, the Angels get confidence. They're the team with the momentum now. But, you know, what's that line? Momentum is only as good as your next day's starting pitcher. I mean, they go to New York. They fly across country. These are two evenly matched teams, though. I'll say this. Would it shock you if the Angels take these games?
No, it wouldn't shock me at all. Saunders pitched outstanding in the second game last weekend in New York. So it doesn't surprise me if he pitches well. Obviously, Andy Pettit's been in a lot of these games before, so the Yankees have a great deal of confidence in him. And, you know, the Angels, obviously, you know, they've watched A-Rod hit balls all over the stadium. They're not going to pitch to him at any situation that they can avoid it. And, you know, who else is going to knock in the runs for the Yankees? I mean, that's key. They're still struggling with men in scoring position. And so it becomes interesting. And, you know, the pressure's all on the Yankees now anyway. I mean, the Angels are sort of living with house money here. And so, you know, let it fly on Saturday and see what happens.
All right, so Angels-Yankees Game 6 on Saturday at 7:10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Radio, weather permitting. And Game 7, if necessary, will be Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, also on ESPN Radio, so you can tune in there and listen to the baseball players, play the games, and who will face the Philadelphia Phillies. So Angels-Yankees. All right, there's other stuff going on in the baseball world. Let's get to Around the Diamond here.
News from around the league.
Let's go Around the Diamond.
All right, so I understand how Major League Baseball can't do anything about instant replay for the World Series or even for 2010, but they can change the World Series umpiring crew and give them credit. All veterans got now at this point. C.B. Buckner was in line to work the World Series for the first time, but he hasn't had a good playoffs. What do you think of this, moving around the umpires?
Window dressing. It's all window dressing. I mean, you know, are we supposed to feel more comfortable knowing that Joe West is now on the World Series umpiring crew? I mean, you know, he's one of the most inconsistent umpires in baseball. I mean, Tim McClellan, who made those two terrible calls on Tuesday in the Angels-Yankee game, I mean, he's one of the most experienced umpires in baseball. It doesn't come down to experience. It comes down to competence. But, you know, at least they've paid lip service to it, and go on from there. I mean, the fact remains is that it seems, you know, and I've always been sort of ambivalent about the instant replay, but if you had a umpire up in a booth and, you know, the foul call and the tag plays, I mean, when you're in a postseason and a huge game in a playoff series is decided by a bad call that everybody in the ballpark knows was missed except the umpire who made it, you tend to think that maybe we've come to a time where you have to start looking at this stuff.
All right. Well, fair enough. And you call it window dressing. I say it's at least a positive step, but then again, it comes down to executing and doing a good job. I just want the calls to be right. That's all. Yeah, I just want them correct.
I mean, they missed a base call last night, and then it's clearly safe. I mean, the thing about it, you know, a bang-bang play, you know, you can't fault anybody. But this is, the play at first base on Damon's ball that Morales made a diving stop and flipped to Lackey. Well, he's a full step ahead of the ball arriving. I mean, that's a pretty big margin, and it's missed. I mean, it just, you know, boy, it's been just like that. It's been like that for much of the season. I think there's been more calls missed on bases this year than I can ever remember. Ball strike stuff, you'll never get everyone happy. I mean, there's 60 umpires, there's 60 different strike zones. But calls on the bases,
you got to get them right.
Got to get them right.
All right. Other stuff going on ever so briefly here. It's going to get really ugly with the Dodgers. You think it's bad that they lost? It's worse now. Frank McCourt fired his wife as the team's CEO after the couple separated. It's going to get
bad. The dream of millions of husbands.
Oh. Well, I'm not saying it. I'm not going there. Also, anybody who really loves Kenji Jojima is going to have to watch him in Japan next year. He has left the Mariners. He's going to play back in Japan. How will the Mariners go on?
Parks up in Seattle, that's for sure, boy. They just saved $12 million.
Yeah, they saved a lot of money there.
They never should have signed him to anyway, so that was a great moment for that organization.
The guy who was arguably the Arizona Diamondbacks' top prospect pitcher, Jared Parker, having Tommy John surgery, so we won't be talking about him again until 2011. Pujols named Player of the Year by the Sporting News. No surprise there. If it was anybody else, I'd be shocked. I think that's about it. Let's move on.
The managerial interview is going on in Cleveland. I guess Valentine, an actor, I guess maybe the finalist there, it sounds like. So.
Yeah, Bobby Valentine does a good job on TV, I got to tell you. I mean, he's very good.
Whether you like him or don't like him, he has great baseball insights.
Right. I mean, you're watching him on Baseball Tonight and SportsCenter. He does a really nice job. So, but, you know, he obviously wants to manage. I mean, everybody wants to manage. So, you know, the Indians, I don't think the Indians are in that bad shape. I think it'd be a good job for him. Certainly a better job than, you know, like the Nationals.
Yeah.
All right. We got time for Call to the Pen.
Call to the Pen. You've got email.
And you can send those emails to baseballtoday@espnradio.com. And let's just face it, this time of the year, we need emails. And we got some today. Who is this? This is Brad, living in Paris, but whose heart is taking its October vacation in South Philadelphia. Go Phillies. Brad writes, during the dog days of the regular season, Eric the Fanatic Carabao, with the tacit support of Peter, we know he doesn't like anyone, Pasquarelli, offered a rather grim assessment of Ryan Howard's possible futures. Quick reminder, players like Howard don't age well. He's not improving. The Phillies should have signed him for 3 years so they could cut their losses when he's in the inevitable downside of his career in the ripe old age of 31. That's what we said. Do you still agree with this assessment, Eric? I'm asking this question based not solely on his MVP performance in the NLCS, but also on his development through the second half of the season and his emergence as a national sports figure with, to my mind, a new and surprising composure, both on the field and off. Has the big guy turned a corner? All right, I was the guy who generated this conversation. Ryan Howard, he's 31 years old. You know, guys like him, larger first basemen who aren't exactly nimble, aren't exactly good fielders, strike out a lot, Mo Vaughn types, they don't age well. They still don't. But Ryan Howard did turn a corner defensively. He looked svelte this year. He ran well. He hit a triple the other night. He stole bases. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to go back on what I said. I don't think he's going to age great. But it certainly looks better now, don't you think?
He certainly turned the corner. He looks a lot better than he did a year ago at this time. And, you know, give him credit for getting himself in shape, for working on the defense. And I think he's hit a stride here in terms of being a hitter, is that he seems to be, he's not striking out as much in these postseason games. And he seems to have got himself to the point where he's, flattened his swing a little bit. He's not uppercutting so much, and he's willing to take the ball wherever it's pitched much more frequently. Right now, he's as good as he's ever been. And you look at his body of work, and you know, you sometimes forget how, you know, extraordinary his numbers have been. So, yeah, maybe we were a little premature on him. But as you say, he is 31. Let's see what he looks like in 2 years from now. But now he's as fearsome as A-Rod at the plate. I mean, you don't want to face him in the same way you don't want to face Rodriguez, and that's going to be part of the World Series if it comes up to the Yankees and Phillies. That will be really fascinating to watch how the two teams pitch to those two players.
One more email. This is Dan in Bethlehem, Connecticut. I was curious as to who Peter and Eric feel are the most overlooked pitchers in baseball. I think Jair Jurgens, Ted Lilly, Wander Rodriguez, and Jared Weaver are four guys that are rarely discussed. All four either have very good stuff or great command. These four guys are not as good as Halladay, Greinke, Sabathia, but they have similar numbers to Josh Beckett, Cliff Lee, and other big-name guys. You know what? Jared Weaver is a little bit underrated, a little overlooked. Jared Jurgens had a terrific year.
Jurgens' outstanding year, and two outstanding years in a row. There's somebody who's only 23 years old, and you know, that's a trade the Tigers are going to regret for a long, long time. Boy,
that was Edgar Renteria, right? Edgar Renteria?
Yep, and... you know, I think that another guy that's overlooked that's becoming very good is Gavin Floyd to the White Sox.
Yeah, I can see that.
And, you know, I think Josh Johnson still doesn't get the attention he deserves.
Josh Johnson?
You know, so, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of overlooked pitchers. So, yeah, good email there.
That's a good email. Keep sending those good emails to baseballtoday@espnradio.com. And by the way, I should note, we said Ryan Howard's 31. He'll be 31 when the contract ends. He's still only 29. But, I mean, I always want to make that clear. Because, you know, I get emails from people saying, you missed this. Well, I know he's not 31, but he will be when his contract ends. I like what the Phillies did with his deal. And, look, you know, 140 RBIs every single season. I mean, nobody does that. A-Rod doesn't
it's
even
amazing.
Do that.
It's amazing.
Really amazing.
And, you know, give the Phillies credit for having that whole nucleus tied up. I mean, they have a chance to do something here for a lot of years, so give them credit for that.
All right. All right, Friday's show is about a wrap. You're flying from Los Angeles to New York, getting ready for Saturday's game. It is on ESPN Radio, weather permitting. What are your final thoughts as we head into this weekend?
Well, I just say the Yankees better win on Saturday. If they don't, I think they're in big trouble, both in the World Series and possibly even in this series. So,
well, you have to like Sabathia in Game 7, don't you?
Yeah, but seventh games are always, you never know in a seventh game. You know, one little play can ruin your whole season. I don't. If you're the Yankees, you don't want to take it to the brink, and you want to end it right away on Saturday.
All right, Saunders and Pettit, a couple of lefties, one with a lot of experience, another who's pitching really well. I'm riveted. These are great baseball games. You can listen on ESPN Radio, and we'll be back on Monday to recap it all. Either way, I would assume either way, unless the weather really is a problem, we'll be talking about our World Series participants. It's possible that they're playing Game 7 on Monday. That would be just awesome.
That'd be great for the Fightins, that's for sure.
Be great for the Fightins. All right, that's it. The Friday show is a wrap. Our week is over. Thanks to Pasquarelli on the left coast. I'm Caraba on the right coast. Pod Vader is here. Brian Fuentes, Tim Kirksh, and everybody who contributed to today's show, thank you very much. Keep sending your emails. Have a great weekend. Yankees, Angels, the winner plays the Phillies. We'll be back on Monday.
Thanks for listening to Baseball Today. For more baseball talk, be sure to tune in Monday through Friday for Baseball Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern. Only on ESPN Radio and online at ESPNRadio.com.
Tomorrow morning we can either rip it or praise it.
Well, that's pretty much what we do here, isn't it?